pushing the team leader, Brock, I think is his name, to do a death crawl to the 50-yard line while carrying one of his teammates. And the whole way that he's going, oh, but first, wait, he blindfolds him so he can't even see where he is. And the whole time that he's going, first of all, Brock doesn't believe that he can do it. Secondly, when he starts failing, when his strength goes away and he's crying out in pain, his coach just starts encouraging him and then kind of yelling at him and prompting him to go on and on and on. And by the end of that scene, I'm crying like a baby, probably you are too. His teammates are kind of standing in awe because you discover that Brock didn't make it to the 50-yard line. He made it all the way to the end zone. He made it 100 yards, carrying his 160-pound teammate on just his arms. What did the team learn that day? The team learned that they had a lot more in them than they thought they did. I thought about that scene the other day when I was asked a question about by a mom, just about giving up and how do you deal with it when you're so frustrated that you're saying the same things over and over again. And immediately, not only did that scene pop into my head, but the amount of times that I personally have really just wanted to give up. I didn't want a parent anymore. There would, you know, you face a situation and you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I want to sit this one out, Lord. And yet, as parents who are living boldly, there's no sitting this one out because our call is far too high. God has far too big of a plan for our families. And so today, I want to encourage you to live boldly by parenting even when you want to give up, even when it's tired, even when you've done the same thing over and over and over again and you just don't see any end in sight. So as I was praying about how I really wanted to talk about this, the Lord kind of brought to mind the different stages of parenting. And so I just wanted to talk about, first of all, what are some of the frustrations that we face in those different stages, but then also what we should remember, because when we kind of back up and we keep our minds fixed on that end zone that we're going towards, even though we don't think there's any way we're going to be able to make it, I think that it will help us pursue hard after that call that God has put on our lives to parent, to teach our children diligently. So to those of you that are parenting little ones, that are just wrapped up in the monotony of saying the same things over and over, in our family, it was obey quickly, sweetly, and completely. It was clean up, everybody, everywhere. All of these little quippy things that I just said over and over and over again. And of course, they're coupled by no, don't touch. And all of these not quippy things that are for their own good. I know how discouraging that it can be in those days. You don't feel like you're actually making any progress. Some days you feel like these days will never end, and yet they're so fleeting, they're so fast. And I want you to remember that right now you are laying the foundation for a relationship that is only going to grow through the years, but you're also laying a foundation by whetting their appetite for what they're going to think of God, who God is, for what they think of family, what they think of God's word. All of these things you're starting to instill in them by that repetitive, somewhat monotonous teaching and training that you're doing day in and day out. And I just want to encourage you to put those stakes in the ground so that you are directing your children in the way that you want them to go. Don't ever forget, those of you that are still parenting littles, still saying the same things, that you are truly laying a wonderful foundation that you're going to build on in the years to come. And it seems that when you get past that littles stage, there's a little bit of a brief respite there where your children have gained those, I guess the overall, they know how to obey, they know what to touch and what not to touch. So they kind of gained a mastery over some of these things. And then all of a sudden, they reach these middle stages, you know, kind of 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, middle school type stuff starts happening. And in those ages, it's really frustrating because it almost is like your children disappear. In some ways, I would look at my kids and think that they were aliens who ate my child, because this person that I'm seeing that's more moody, that is more given to anger, that is more unpredictable, this person is not recognizable to me. And it gets very discouraging because it's a fearful time. I was very fearful for what was going through their heads, what kind of decisions they were going to make, because they just seemed to be off balance. And there were a lot of times in those days that I just really wanted to give up, because I had already laid the foundation and I felt like I was having to remind and go through it all again, because they were forgetting, they weren't connecting the dots anymore. There was this massive disconnect. But I want to encourage you that a lot of stuff that's going on in them is physiological right now. There are hormone rushes. There's all these changes that are happening physically to them. And what you're doing by parenting, even when you don't want to, through those middle school ages, is you are providing stability and kind of a comfort zone to a child that feels completely out of control. And so I hope that you will take the time to recognize that, and that will be something that will just propel you forward to keep on keeping on through those days when you're sure that you can't carry that load anymore on your arms. You're not going to make it to the 50-yard line. And yet the work that you are doing through those middle years, those middle school years, is so critically important. Keep going. And then finally, you reach the teen years. And I think that the teen years are by far the most fun. They are the best. But there really have been more days during the teen years when I've wanted to give up than any other time. And the reason for that is the conversations get so much deeper. The problems are so much more intense. There's just so much more going on that there are a lot of times when I come into a situation and just think, no, I don't want to have this conversation now. I've got all of these other things to do, and I know that as soon as I sit down, I'm going to be there for a very long time. And honestly, I am faced with things now that I've got one that's leaving the house, he's graduated, that I really don't want to think about. And those are causes for discouragement and just wanting to give up. But I want to encourage you in those days that you are building relationships and strengthening relationships that are going to be golden in the days ahead. So through whatever stage that you are, when you are tempted to give up, remember that Ephesians 6:12 tells us we aren't fighting against big football players like they were in Facing the Giants, ones that way outsize us. That's not our battle. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our battle, we are fighting against principalities, against spiritual powers, against darkness. Satan wants to destroy our families. Our kids are high value targets to the evil one, because he knows that God's plan for our families is so big and so grand and so glorious, and that for generations and generations, God has used parents faithfully passing down their faith, discipling their children, shepherding their hearts, pointing them to him, teaching them diligently how to be young men and women and to be the next generation of leaders. Satan wants that to stop. He wants to discourage you. But I also want you to remember that you don't just have a coach down on his hands and knees going beside you during this time. Rather, you have the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, who dwells inside of you and who promises that his grace is sufficient in your weakness. He promises he will never leave you nor forsake you. So on those days when you just want to give up, live boldly. Take one more step of obedience. Push harder and farther than you think that you can. And then trust that God will do what he says he will, and that he will continue working, and that he will perfect that which concerneth you, and that he will be made perfect. His strength will be made perfect in your weakness, and that he will give you those graces and those mercies that are new every morning. because you will need them, but you will find that his faithfulness is great and that he is very good to bless your steps of obedience. So get out there, live boldly, stay faithful to the job that God has given you, and don't give up, even when you want to. If you are in a situation where you really are so discouraged that you just can't see your way out, send me an email, give me a call, find someone in your church that you can talk to. The Bible talks about women mentoring one another. It talks about iron sharpening iron. If you are struggling with something, let somebody help you. That's really an important function of the body of Christ, that we come alongside of one another and help in times of need. And so if you find yourself in a place where you're just too discouraged to go forward and you really truly feel like your strength is insufficient, find somebody that can give you godly counsel and can pray with you. I would love the opportunity to pray with you about that, because then we can both stand in awe together and see what God will do when you lay that down at his feet and trust in his strength and not your own. So I hope you've been encouraged this week. I hope that you find the strength in Christ to persevere and to do all that he has called you to do. And I will see you again next week.